Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Zayin. We are holding on Daf Lamed Vavim Beis. We are at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Lamed Vavim Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha, Alah Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadie, and for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. What we're going to talk about today, first, the Mishnah is going to discuss how the officers of the court were positioned in a Beis Din for Dinei Nefashos, where everybody sat and what positioning they were sat in. Then the Gemara is going to use different psukim and Shir HaShirim to describe the Sanhedrin and also to describe a certain sense of the Yiras Chet of the Jewish people. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how everyone would shift their seats when they had to add a new Dayan. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about how they would intimidate Edei Nefashos. People would come with Edus for Edei Nefashos. They wanted to make them fully aware of just how serious a matter it is to say Edus in a Dinei Nefashos case. The Gemara is then going to discuss how Edim need to actually see the crime and not just put the pieces together based on circumstantial evidence. The Gemara is going to discuss, okay, that may be true by Dinei Nefashos, but by Dinei Mamonos, is it okay to do a little bit of guesswork? Is it okay to rely on hearsay a little bit when it comes to Dinei Mamonos? And then the Gemara is going to conclude, the Daf is going to conclude with a little bit of a discussion of details of how Cain killed Hevel. And that comes up because one of the topics that we cover when we try to intimidate the Edei Nefashos is just how serious a crime it was when Cain, in fact, killed Hevel. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Vavam Beis. So the Mishnah says, Sanhedrin is a kichati gorin nagula. Sanhedrin would sit like a semicircle, Kadeshiu Rowan Ze'ezeh, so that they would be able to see one another. Rashi explains in Maseches Chulin, because if you're able to see the person while you're listening to their argument, and you're therefore it makes it easier to promote conversation so that you can argue back, so then there's a greater chance that that everything that needs to get said will get said, and everything that needs to be heard will get heard, and the Hora'a will come out properly, will come out Kehalacha. The Rashi over here writes that they sat in a semicircle because if they were to sit in a straight row, the Dayanim would not see one another, because if you're sitting right next to each other, you only see the person sitting right next to you. But they also wouldn't sit in a full circle because the Balidin and the Edim had to say their piece in front of all of the Dayanim. And if they sat in a full circle, so unless they were on a rotating stage, it would be very difficult for them to say everything in front of all of the Dayanim. And furthermore, Rashi writes, they couldn't sit in a full circle because sometimes someone had to leave or come back, and that would be very annoying if you had to step over somebody. So it was always a semicircle. The two scribes of the court would stand in front of the Dayanim, one to the right of the Dayanim, one to the left of the Dayanim. The Kosin, Divrei Mechayvin, Divrei Mezakin, or the Girsa might be Divrei Mezakin, Divrei Mechayvin. They would write down the arguments of each party, so that in case of each of people arguing in each direction, those who are Mechayev and those who are Mezaka, so that if anyone were to make a mistake, they would be able to go back to the court record and see what exactly was in fact said, in case anyone were to forget what was said. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shlosha. Rabbi Yehuda said they had three scribes in the court. Echad Kosev Divrei Mezakin, one who would write the Divrei Mezakin, those Dayanim that were arguing to acquit. Ve'echad Kosev Divrei Mechayevin, and one would write the arguments to convict. And then the third one would write everything, both the Divrei Mezakin and the Divrei Mechayvin, and therefore, in case there was ever a mistake made, we can double check on the person because there were two people writing everything that was being said. And then they had three rows, each with 23 people of Talmidei Chachamim sitting in front of the Dayanim, so that in case they needed to add Dayanim, they would add Dayanim. Rashi writes that they sat in a circle, in a semicircle as well, that the three rows of Talmidim also sat that way. However, the Adramar writes that no, those were three straight rows, and the Raya is because the Mishnah doesn't say the word Agulos over here like it said in the beginning of the Mishnah, and the word Shuros sounds like it means Shuros that are straight, and but then they're not going to see each other. That's fine. They only need to see the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin only needs to see them. And it has to be that they don't have to see each other because there were three rows. So obviously people in the front row don't see the people behind them. So we don't need to set it up in a way that they all see each other because by definition they're not all seeing each other. So that's Machlokas Rashi and Yad Rama. Did the Talmidim also sit in a semicircle? And every one of the Talmidim knew exactly where to sit based on their prominence, their level of godless. They sat in the order of their godless. If the Dayanim needed to give smicha to one of the other Dayanim, meaning let's say one Dayan died or got sick or something, and therefore they needed to add someone to the court, so Samchim min Arishona, they would give smicha to one of the Talmidim Chacham sitting in the first row, because the first row were the most prominent of the Talmidim. And when that Talmud got his smicha and moved up to the Sanhedrin, so now a spot became available in the first row. So Echad min Ashniya, Bolo l'Rishona. So someone from the second row would move up to the first row. Some from third row would now move into up to because there's a vacant spot in the second row. And then they would draft someone new from the community. And that person would move on to the third row. He wouldn't go to wherever the vacated spot. He would sit in the spot that makes sense for him, which would be the very last spot on the last row of the Talmidim, because he was the last person on. We assume he was the least qualified of all of the Talmidim that were there. Now, when we said that we'd give smicha to somebody in order for him to serve as one of the Dayanim, so it means that the Rambam writes in the fourth paragraph of the Sanhedrin, it means we would say to him, that they would tell him, you are now a rabbi, you are now someone who has smicha, and you could even don dine knossos. But not that they would actually lean their hands on him. Smicha was not a physical smicha, it was a verbal smicha. However, the Malach HaShlomo writes that they were somechas yedeyem al echad min hachachamim, and he's now able to be done dine nefashos after an actual physical smicha. In the Sefer Kol HaRamaz, he says from Rashi on Chumash, it sounds like it was smicha b'shtei yadayim. Rashi in Bamidbar Perech Chavzayin sounds like it was smicha with two hands, and he says that which the Gemara says that you don't need to be somech biyado, the Gemara said back on Daf Yud Gimel, that just means that it's not ma'akiv to be somech biyado. But really, you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to do the smicha physically with the two hands. That seems to be machlokas, Rambam and Rashi, whether this smicha is a physical leaning on the person's head or just a verbal smicha telling him that he's now authorized to be a judge. Okay, so says Gemara Minani Mili. How do I know that they sat in a semicircle? Where's the indication in Tanakh that that's what they did? So Amar Rav Acha Bar Chanina, the Amar Krat, a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, which ostensibly is describing a woman and how the woman is praised by her friends, where it says Sarurech Agan Hasahar Al Yechsar Hamozeg. So what does that mean? Sarurech Agan, or Sharurech rather. So Sharurech Zo Sanhedrin. That's a reference to the Sanhedrin. Lama Nikra Shema Sharurech. Why is the Sanhedrin called Sharurech, which means like a belly? Shehi Yosheves B'Tiburu Shalom, because the Sanhedrin sits in the center of the world. Because the Beis HaMikdash is in the center of the world. The Sanhedrin sat in the Lishchas HaGazis by the Beis HaMikdash. Agan Shimagina Al Kala Olam Kulo, and it's called Agan because the Sanhedrin protects the entire world. Hasar Shi Domal Hasar, and it's called Hasar because it's like a moon, and the moon typically appears in some sort of semicircle. It only for a few days does it appear like a full circle, unlike the sun, which always appears like a full circle. So when you describe a semicircle, we use the imagery of the moon. So that's the pasuk that tells us that they sat in a semicircle. Now, what does it mean that the Sanhedrin is Megin al Kala Ulam Kulo, protects the entire world? So the Marsha and the Chidush HaGadol writes, because all three Amudei HaOlam were the institution traditions that were the foundation of the Sanhedrin, that Torah, Din, and Emes are the Amudei Olam. So the Torah, Din, and Emes, that's what happened. That was their job. Through their learning of Torah and their understanding of Torah, they were able to execute Din, La Amito. So that's exactly what the Sanhedrin did. The Iyun Yaakov just adds that when we do Din Lamaila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Din Lamaila. Ain Din Lamaila. Then if we're able to execute justice down here, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need his Midas Hadin to fix things that we're not, being careful about. So the more we're able to execute justice, the more we're protecting people, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to need to use his Midas Hadin. Al Yechzar HaMazek, the pasuk continues, that you shouldn't have any less than a shir meziga. A shir meziga is 1/3. That when they would have when they would dilute wine, it was 1/3 wine, 2/3 water. Shem hutzar chachem emlatzes. If one of the dayanim would need to leave the lishchas hagazis, so they would first have to see how many people he's leaving behind. Right? It's like if you're at a minyan, you know, when it's the week of winter vacation, and it's a slim picking. So you're counting. Wait, can I leave early? So you have to make sure that you're not abandoning the people without a minion. So before a guy would leave the Sanhedrin, he has to count. He has to make sure that I'm not leaving them with fewer than they need. So Rowan im yesh asim v'shlosha keneged Sanhedrin katana. So we see if there's 23 people keneged the Sanhedrin katana yotze, then you could leave v'im la v'inu yotze. But if you don't have that, if you don't have 23 dayanim left behind, then you can't leave. And then the pasuk goes on to say, "Bitnech arei maschitim." Your beten is like a pile of wheat. So how is that a compliment for a woman? So ma arei maschitim. Hakol nanim mimena. It's not a compliment for a woman. It's a compliment for the Sanhedrin, that just like in arei maschitim, everyone is able to get hana'a from the wheat. Af Sanhedrin hakol nanim mitam mehen. So to the Sanhedrin, everyone is able to get hana'a from the explanations that they give for their different dinim. The arei maschitim, the achronim point out that they would remove all the impurities till you had the just the chita and all the psalus was gone. So too when it comes to learning Torah, and the way the Sanhedrin would derive the din is by sifting out all of the nonsense, all of the arguments that are nonsense, and all of the suggestions that are nonsense, and all the edus, and finally coming out with that which is actual din. The Ben Yoyada suggests that the Sanhedrin is compared to chitim because chitim brings shalom into the world. That's the pasuk we say every day in the Hallelujah. Lucas hasam gvuleich shalom chelev chitim yaspiech, that chelev chitim yaspiech, right? That relates to shalom. That's the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Nun Tes, that one key to shalom bayis is having food in the house. That people shouldn't be hungry. So that's what the pasuk is referring to. Hasam gvuleich shalom. When you have sviya from chitim, then you have a better chance at having a sense of shalom bayis. People aren't going to be hangry all the time. So the chitim brings shalom. So too the Sanhedrin brings shalom to the world by judging in a righteous way, in a fair and righteous way. Behind the Damrle Humina, and that's what the certain Apikoris said to Rav Kahana. He said to I'm sorry, I skipped the line. So Suga Bashoshanim, the apostle goes on to say Suga Bashoshanim, Shafilu Kisuga Shal Shoshanim Lo Yufrut Suban Pratzos. That even if all you have is a rose bush to prevent you from doing an Aveira, still the Jewish people are so frum that even if there's nothing threatening us and all it is that's preventing us from an Aveira is something as small as a rose bush, we still won't break through that barrier. We don't need, as Rashi says, a geder shel avanim to be marchik us from an Aveira. Just a subtle reminder is good enough. That's what the Medrash in Shira Shirim Rabba says, that Amar Rabbi Levi benoik sheba olam adam no siisha ben lamed shana ben mem shana mishmotzi yitz Yosef hu bol zakek la vi omer so kishoshana aduma reisi uporish mena miyad, that we see all the time a young, vibrant man, 30 years old, 40 years old, and he works hard all day, and he comes home to his wife, and she says, I saw a drop of blood and he's purish from her right away. Drop of blood like a rose, and he's purish right away. Mi garam lo shelo yikrav lo, says the Medrash. Who told him, who's stopping him from being with her? Eza kosel barzel yesh b'neim. What type of iron wall is between them? Veza amud barzel b'neim. Eza nachash nashcha. What kind of snake is going to bite him? Eza akrav akso shelo yikrav lo. What kind of scorpion is going to sting him that he won't with, so he shouldn't get near to her? Divrei Torah sherachin kishoshana. It's the Divrei Torah that are soft like a rose. Shenamar ba'avel isha benidas tumasol lo tikrav. That the Torah says you don't come close to a nida. So we see that a suga shel shoshanim is enough. That even the Torah's words, which are soft like a rose petal, that's enough to keep us away from violating averos. V'hainu damle umina, back in the Gemara, and that's why a certain min said to Rav Kahana. He said to Rav Kahana, amrisu nida sharli yichudi be'adei gavra. That you, according to the Jewish halacha, you allow a man to have yichud with his wife when she's a nida. How is that a recipe for success? If he's attracted to her and he has a yetzer hara, he has a healthy yetzer hara, and they're living alone together in the same apartment, how's that possible? You're going to put a fire near flammable material and you don't expect some level of combustion? So Amalei, so Rav Kahana says to the min, HaTorei Yida Aleinu, Suga Bashoshanim. The Torah says all we need is Suga Bashoshanim. Shafilu Kesuga Shoshanim, Lo Yifrus Ben Pratzos. That will be Purish from an Aveira, even if all we have is a Suga Shal Shoshanim. Tosos over here points out that the Gemara compares it to Shoshanim because Dam Nida is like a Shoshana Aduma. It is like a red rose. And the reason why, Tosos says, a man is allowed to have Yichud with Ishto Nida is because Yeshlo Pas Pesalo. That there's a psychological reality that when you know that in a short amount of time she will become Muteris again. So you're not saying never, you're not saying she's Asura, you're saying a little bit of patience. Soon, not yet. So that's a psychological trick that works on people, that people will be able to have heroic levels of self-control when they know that at some time in the near future she will once again become uteris. However, Tosla says in order to apply that concept of pas pesalo, it has to be not only that she will become uteris, but that they've already been together, that they've already had some experience physically together. So if you have chasan and kala, the Gemara talks about Masechus Ksubos where pirsa kala nida before they ever became intimate with one another, then we taka do not allow yichud, right? Then hu yashin bein anashim yishena bein anashim. We don't allow the chasan and kala to be yichud together because then we are taka concerned. So it's only when you have the combination of the two that they have been together and that they know that they will be together, later on. If she's going to be asura to him forever, then that would not we would not have such a heter. So Reish Lakish Amar Mehelcha. Reish Lakish says you want to get a sense of how careful the Jewish people are about doing averos. You could derive it from a different pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Kefela Harimon Rakaseich. Afilu Reikonis Shabach Malein Mitzvos Krimon. That tells us that even Rakaseich, even those that are most empty of mitzvos are among the Jewish people, are full of mitzvos like a pomegranate. Rabbi Zera Amar Mehacha. Rabbi Zera says I learned from a pasuk that describes how Yaakov brought the hunted animal to Yitzchak to get the brachos. It says Vayorach Es Reach Begadav. The Yitzchak smelled the begadim of Yaakov, and he said, "Oh wow, Re'ei Reach Bini Kereach Asada Shebiracha Hashem." So Al Tikri Begadav Ela Bogdav. That even those that are bogate, even those that rebel in the Jewish people, reflect a Reach Tov, reflect a Reach of mitzvos. Hanu Beryoni Dav B'Shavus. There were a bunch of guys who were thugs and prutzim that were in Rabbi Zera's neighborhood. Rabbi Zera was always makariv them, he was always nice to them, and he was hoping to inspire them to do tshuva. Vavakabdi Rabbanon, and the Chachamim were very upset. Why are you so nice to these people? They're bad guys. So kinach nafshid Rabbi Zera, when Rabbi Zera died, Amri, these bad guys said, Ade idna, up until this point, that whenever we did something wrong, we knew that we had a friend, the little guy with the burnt feet, that would always daven for us. Hashta, but now that he's dead, man bayalan rachme, who's going to daven for us and save us from Gehenim? So hiru b'libayu va'avdu tshuva. So they had a hiru tshuva and they did tshuva, meaning that thought hit them and they did tshuva, which is an amazing comment about chinuch and kiruv, right? A person, Rabbi Zeru, works his whole life to try to get these people to do tshuva. If you were to ask him on his deathbed, were you successful? His answer would have been, no, they still didn't do tshuva. And here I am dying, and they still didn't do tshuva. And then the moment after he dies, they did tshuva. So what, was he successful? Of course he was successful. A lot of times you don't see success in the moment, that there's something about all that kiruv over all those years that finally seeped through after he had died, and they only realized it afterwards. Now, how did he get such a nickname as Katina Charech Shake, that the little guy with the burnt legs? So it's a story that's brought in Masechta Matzia Daf Pehei, that he fasted 100 fasts in order that the Eish Shel Gehenim shouldn't have any shlita over him, and he would check himself every 30 days to see if fire had any impact on him by going into a lit oven, and he didn't get burnt. And one day the Rabbanan looked at him with some level of jealousy, and that caused it to not work anymore, and his legs got burnt. So he became Katan Shake, he became the person with the burnt legs. So Shalosh Shuros, we then said in the Mishnah that there were three rows of Talmid Chachamim that sat in front of the Sanhedrin, and then we said when they would have to draft someone onto the Sanhedrin, so someone from the second row would move to the first row, third row to the second row, etc. So Rabbi Shmamina ki naidi kulu naidi. It wasn't just that someone from the second row moved to the first row, it said everyone shifted down one spot. So the entire second row shifted over one spot, except for the last guy who moved up to the first row. And then someone from third row moved to the second row, and the entire third row shifted over one spot, so that the new person they drafted on would be in the very last spot. So kulu naidi. But wait a second, shouldn't the guy that's moving from row 2 to row 1 or row 3 to row 2, shouldn't he have a taina that up until now I was the top in my group and now you're putting me back to the back of the line? So Amar Abaye says to Amri Lehachi, we would respond to that, that before, yes, you were the cleanup hitter in the minor leagues. Now you're in the major leagues, so you bet 8th, and that's okay. Meaning that's you're in a better position now than you were before. It's better to be the tail of the lion than to be the head of the fox. The Meiri writes in his commentary on Pirkei Avos that if a person is able to learn from other people, it's better than being in a position to be the one who's responsible to teach other people. You get to learn so much by being around people who are greater than you. Okay, so now new Mishnah. Ketzad Maimina Sa'edim, what would they say to Eidei Nefashos in order to intimidate them, or not necessarily scare them, but at least to give them a sense of the severity of what they're doing? So Ketzad Maimina Sa'edim al Eidei Nefashos. So Yimachnisno Sanu Maimin Alehen, they would bring them into Bezin and they would intimidate them, and they would say, Shem Tomru Me Omedu Mishmua, lest you say any Eidos where you're just putting the pieces together, you're doing some guesswork, or it's hearsay, you only heard from Sayyid Mipiyad, from you heard from someone who told you that they saw it, or you heard from a trustworthy person, maybe you don't realize we're going to ask you lots and lots of questions to verify that you're telling the truth and that you were there and you know exactly what happened. Have a yodin, you need to know is different than dinim nefashos. Dinim mamonis adam nos, in mamonim is chaper lo. If you mess up in dinim mamonis, you can always pay it back. You give money and then you get your kapara. Dinim nefashos, but when it comes to dinim nefashos, there's no pulling it back. Dama v'dam zaros of tuliyin bo. The blood of the person that you're gonna convict, if it's a miscarriage of justice, and the blood of his children is all on you. Ad sofa olam, until the end of time. Shekein matinu b'kayin shaharges achiv, because we find that Kayin killed his brother Hevel. Shneemar, where we find that Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Kayin after he killed Hevel, Kol demei achicha tzoakim, that the voice of the blood of your brother is crying out min adama. Say no omer dam achicha el demei achicha. It doesn't say in the singular the blood of your brother. It says the bloods lashon rabim. That means because not only his blood, but it's any future children he would have had also. That's all. That those bloods are also crying out. Davar acher, another interpretation why it says it in plural, d'me'achicha she'edom mushlach aleitzim v'alvanim. It's d'me'achicha because the blood is all over the rocks and the wood and all over the place. So because when Cain killed Hevel, it was a brutal murder. So there was blood everywhere. L'fichach nivra adam yichidi, and that's why man is created alone. We don't, like some animals, you know, fish have however many babies all at once. No, man is created alone. L'lamedcha, to teach you, shekol ma'abid nefesh achas mi'yisrael ma'alav kasav ki li'ibed olam malei, that if you are ma'abid one, if you cause the loss of one life, one Jewish life, it's as if you cause the loss of an entire world. V'kol ma'kayim nefesh achas mi'yisrael ma'alav kasav ki li'kiyem olam malei, and if you maintain and you save one Jewish life, it's as if you've maintained an entire world. U'mepnei shalom abrios shalom yomar adam l'chaveru abba gadol me'avicha, and for the sake of shalom abrios, there's another reason why man was created alone, for the sake of shalom among people, that no one should say, well, I descend from a superior race, I descend from someone who's superior to who you descend from. So no, we all descend from the same person, so we all come originally from the same place. Shalayu aminim omrim harbi rishus b'shamayim. And another reason why Adam was created yechidi is that the kofrim shouldn't be able to say that there are many gods in shamayim, and each one of them created their own separate man. So we say, no, there was only one man that was created. It must be that there was one God that created this one man. Another reason is to teach us about the godliness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shadim toveh kam matbeos b'chosam echad. A man can make many different coins with one chosam, with one seal to shape the coins. V'kulan domin zelazeh, and the coins are identical to one another. U'melech malchei amlacham HaKadosh Baruch Hu toveh kol adam b'chosam shal adam harishon v'enech me'endom l'chavero. And Hashem makes us all, in a certain sense, in the image of Adam Arishon, but no two people look exactly alike or are exactly alike. L'fichach kol echad v'echad chayiv lomar b'shvili nivra olam. And therefore, every person should say that the world was created for me, that I am like an olam malei. V'shem atomra, then the Dayanim, going back to the speech the Dayanim give to the Edom, once we conclude the discussion of why man was created yichidi, the Dayanim say to the Edom, you might say, ma lanu l'tzara zos, if it's such a high stakes thing and there's so much risk in doing this, what do I need this tzara of getting involved and being meyadin in nefashos? The pasuk says, if you don't say the edus, then you're violating a terrible avera. And maybe you'll say, I'd rather violate im lo yagid v'nasa avono than to be chayiv for the misa of this person. No, you should realize you're doing a great mitzvah, that if you're telling the truth and you're able to execute a rasha on account of your edus, so that's not an onesh, that's a very positive thing that you're bringing into the world. Tan Rabbanan, so the Braisa elaborates, Ketzad me'omed. We said that we were ma'ayim the edim by telling them, don't testify just based on you putting the pieces together and figuring it out. No, you can only testify what you actually saw. So what's an example of me'omed? What does it mean that they're putting the pieces together? What would be such a case? So Amalan, the Dayan says to the Edom, Shemakachri Isem, maybe you saw something like this. Sheratz achar chaver l'churba. You saw one guy running after another guy into a churba, into some abandoned ruin. Veratz demachrav, and you ran after him to see what was going to go on. U'mutzasim sayif biyadom. By the time you got there, you found the guy with a sword in his hand. V'damo metaftev, and the blood of the victim is dripping from the sword, v'harug mefarper, and the victim is sitting there, is lying there on the ground, bleeding out. If that's what you saw, you didn't see anything. You didn't see him stab him. You didn't see him do anything. You didn't see him. You only saw the immediate aftermath of the death of that person. That is not sufficient to give edus. Tanya, Amr Rabshim ben Shatach. Rabshim ben Shatach said, "Era bin Chama, which is a lashon of a shavua, im lo risi echad sherotzach chaveru luchurva, that I once saw someone chasing after someone else to a churva, veratz diachrav, and I chased after him, verisi sayef biyado, and I saw that he had a knife in his hand, v'damo metaftef, and blood was dripping from it, v'harug mefarper, and the victim was lying on the ground, writhing on the ground, v'amarti lo rasha, mia ragol azeh, o ani o ata, and I said, who killed this guy? It wasn't me, so it was either me or you. We're the only two people here. It was either me or you, and I know it wasn't me. But I can't do anything because I didn't see it. And if I didn't see it, I'm not able to do anything about it. The Torah says you need Shnayim Edim to kill someone. Shnayim Edim or Shlosha Edim to Yumas Hameis. And I didn't see him. Maisa Ariga. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows everything, and he knows even the machshavos of a person, he'll pay you back. Meaning, this is like a major comment about the entire system of justice that the Jewish people have. I mean, the whole system of Beis Din and Dina Nefashos allows for a lot of people to get away with a lot. Meaning, it's very rare that we'll actually be able to execute somebody. But the reason that's okay is because we also believe that there's a backup plan, and that is our Kodesh Baruch Hu evens the score. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make sure that everybody's going to get exactly what they deserve. So if you don't believe in God, this system would make no sense. But if it's because we believe in God and we believe that our Kodesh Baruch Hu is running the world, so you're going to get what you deserve. But it's just not going to be me that's going to give it to you. It's going to be our Kodesh Baruch Hu that gives it to you. Tosos and Dibra Maskel She'ein points out from the fact that the Gemara brings this Maisa to explain Mu'umad in the Mishnah, it sounds like Edus Mu'umad doesn't work based on this pasuk of Al Pishnayim Edim Ashol She'edim Yumas Hameis, that you need them to see the actual Maisa, because it's the Shem Edim only applies when you actually see it. There's a mechilta in Parshas Mishpatim, however, that darshans from the pasuk v'naki v'tzadik al tarog, that Edus Mu'umad is psula, a different pasuk, and a little different than our sugya. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, Losasei Reish Sadi, says that the Torah's koveya a very clear geder that you do not kill a nidon until the Edom saw that he did the Maisa without any doubt whatsoever and without using their imagination at all, without having to fill in any details on their own, because if the Edom are going to rely on that which they didn't mamish see, it just opens itself up to mistakes and to potentially killing an innocent person. And we'd rather allow murderers off the hook if you didn't see it than to kill a single innocent person. And again, part of that is because we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to even the score. So anyway, so he told this guy that Hashem is going to be the one that punishes you. So Amru, they said, right then a snake appears out of nowhere, bites the guy, and the guy dies. So Vahai Bar Nachashu says, wait a second, I realize the Yad Hashem in that, but it's the wrong punishment. Is that guy, the guy who's a murderer, does he deserve to die by a snake bite? Didn't we learn that from the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, even though the Sanhedrin became batel, the Arba Misos did not become batel? So it says, lo batel, va batel. What do you mean the Arba Misos didn't become batel? We don't do Arba Misos anymore. No, Eladin Arba Misos lo batel. The fact that the Arba Misos will still happen to a person, that still exists, because Mishin is Chayiv Skila. If a person is Chayiv Skila, O Nofel Menagag, he'll either fall off of a roof, O Chayiv Dorasto, or an animal will trample on him, and that's like Skila. Mishin is Chayiv Srefa, and someone who's Chayiv Srefa, O Nofel Bedleik, he'll either fall into a fire, O Nachash Makisho, or he'll be bit by a snake, someone who's Chayiv Srefa. Umishan is Chayiv Hariga, and if someone's Chayiv Sayif, Onim Shalom Malchus, he'll either be given over to the Malchus, or list in Bailov, or he'll be attacked by bandits. Umishan is Chayiv Chenek, and if someone's Chayiv Chenek, Otovei Abinar, he'll either drown, or Mes Bisronchi, or he'll die of some sort of illness that chokes him. So why does the person who Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach saw, why did that guy die, Al Yidei Nachash? That's like a Misa Srefa. A Rotzeach is Chayiv Sayif, he's not Chayiv Srefa. So he got the wrong Misa. How come a Kodesh Baruch Hu killed him with the wrong Misa? So Amriya who chet achriti have a bay. Tamar Mishan Schaiv Shte Misus Bez and Nidan Bechamura. You think this was his first rodeo? I mean, he happened to have caught him committing this crime of murder. Usually that's not a person's first crime, right? He probably did other crimes as well. So he probably did something for which he was Chayiv Srefa. He was probably a career criminal who did something for which he was Chayiv Srefa. Now it's interesting, the Gemara says, Miyom Shechorav Beis Hamigdash, even though the Sanhedrin is batal, the Dal Misna batal. Tosfos raises the question, why do we say Miyam Shachar Beis Hamigdash? The Maisa with Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach was when there still was a Beis Hamigdash. And only that, in Makos Taf Yud, in a case where there are no Edim and Asra, Kodesh Baruch Hu sees to it that that the justice is carried out anyway, even if there is a Beis Hamigdash. So it's nothing to do with the Beis Hamigdash, really. So Tosfos says, the Gemara still used the Lashon Mishchar Beis Hamigdash, because then there was no more Din and Fashos at all. Then there was no more potential of Din and Fashos. Furthermore, Tosfos points out that the Gemara says Mishchar Beis Hamigdash because Bizman Beis Hamigdash, there were Big Day Kahuna, which were Mechaper on a Rotzeach as well, if he did Tshuva. So there was this other opportunity to have Kapara. Tosfos in Dibra Maslam Yom Shacharav raises the question, well, wait a second, we see a lot of people who are Kofrim, that die Al Mitasam, that die in natural death at a ripe old age, whatever happened to Dalad Misos Lo Batlu, people who deserve to die in other ways? So Tos says they must have some zuchus, that's Tola for them, that enables them to live the rest of their lives. Okay, Me Omed, so we said, you can't do any guesswork in being an aid in Dinei Nefashos. So it says the Gemara, B'Dinei Nefashos Hu D'Lo Amdinan, HaB'Dinei Mamnas Amdinan. The implication is that when it comes to Dinei Mamnas, you can't do a little guesswork. So Kaman, whose sheet is that following? Rabbi Acha. That seems to follow the sheet of Rabbi Acha. D'Tanya, Rabbi Acha Omer, Gomel Ha'ocher Bein HaGamalim. If you have an animal among the, a camel among the other camels, V'Nimtza Gomel Harag B'Tzido, and you find a dead camel there, B'Yadua Shezeh Harago. You know that this camel was the one that killed it. So you see, even though you didn't see the one camel kill the other, you saw one was acting wild and the one next to it was dead, and this was the only one, other one around. So you know exactly what happened. So the owner of camel A should be chayv to pay for camel B. But wait a second, according to you, that whatever we're saying in our Mishnah is exclusive to Dinei Nefashos and doesn't apply to Dinei Mamonos, so ein mipiei dekatani. When we said that hearsay is inadmissible, b'dinei nefashos is it only in Dinei Nefashos that we don't allow hearsay? But you're going to allow Ein Mipiyed in Dinei Mamonos? Vatanan, but we have a Mishnah, Im Amar, we saw the Mishnah already, Im Amar, Hu Amar Li Shani Chayiv Lo, if the aid comes and says, well, the Lova told me, not in front of the Malva, that he owes the Malva money, so the aid knows that the Lova is Chayiv just because the Lova said it to him, Ish Ploni Amar Li Shu Chayiv Lo, or some other guy told me that this Lova owes this Malva money, Lomer Klum, that is not Eidos. Achi Yomar Bifaneinu Ho Delo Shu Chayiv Lo Masayim Zuz. You have to have seen that the Lova was molded to the Malva, or have seen the loan itself in order to be made. So hearsay is not good enough in Dinei Mamonos either. So Alma Afgav to Psili B'Dinei Mamonos Amrin Lahu B'Dinei Nefashos. So apparently, even though this is something that's inadmissible even for Dinei Mamonos, we still use it as part of the intimidation of the Edim for Dinei Nefashos as well, because by Edus Nefashos we try to say everything that we can say in order to frighten the Edim, even those things that happen to be true of Dinei Mamonos as well. So Achanami, so the same is true when it comes to filling in the blanks and trying to do some guesswork in your edels. Avgav de psili b'dini mamonis amrin lo b'dini nefashos. Even though it would be possible b'dini mamonis as well, we use it as part of our speech to the edim in dini nefashos. So you have no evidence that hearsay is acceptable in dini mamonis. Okay, so now the Mishnah had said have a yodim. We said that we would tell the edim that you should know that dini mamonis is not like dini nefashos because it's the blood and the blood of all his descendants, just like we find when Cain killed his brother, that called Demei Achicha Tzoakim. Some Rabbi Yehuda Breid Rav Chia said that Melami Chasa Cain Behavalachiv Chaburos Chaburos. You see that Cain made multiple stab wounds in Hevel. Ptzios, ptzios. He sliced him and cut him many places. Because no one had ever killed anyone before. So he didn't know where the neshama leaves from. So he tried his toe and he tried his finger and he tried his hand until finally he got to his neck and then he stabbed him there and then he died, he bled out. From the day that the earth opened up its mouth and accepted the blood of Hevel, shuv lo pascha, it never opened its mouth again. Shenemar, because the pasuk in Yeshayahu says, mi knaf ha'aretz zmiros shamanu tzvila tzadik, that from the edge of the earth we heard the zmiros la'ashem, and we darshan mi knaf ha'aretz v'lo mi pia aretz, that it's only from the edge of the earth but not from the pia aretz, because the aretz doesn't open its mouth at all anymore. So Esvei Chizkiah Achiv, Chizkiah, Rabbi Yehuda's brother, said to Rabbi Yehuda, but the pasuk says when it comes to Korach v'Adaso, the pasuk says v'tiftach ha'aretz es piha, that the earth opened up its mouth and v'tivlos ha'min it swallowed them up. So you do see that even after these times of Cain and Hevel, that the earth opened up its mouth. So how can you say that the earth never opened up its mouth again after Cain and Hevel? Amalei l'ra'a pascha, the earth opened up its mouth for bad, to swallow up Korach v'Adaso, but l'tova lo pascha, but it never opened up its mouth for good ever again. Tulsus raises the question, what do you mean? Tivla emo aretz in Oz Yashir, that these the aretz swallowed up the Mitzrim, and that's a tova for them, that they were buried. So you do see that the earth opened up l'tova to bury the Mitzrim. So Tulsus says that tova samitzrim is not called tova. Tova l'rashayim is ra'a. So yeah, it was a tova for the Mitzrim, but that's not considered to be something that's inherently good. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from the Amar of Yehuda, Berei de Rabbi Chiya. Everyone have a wonderful day.